This evening's message, we come to 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 1 to verse 9. This message concerns the Queen of Sheba. Pada malam ini kita bercerita mengenai Ratu Sheba yang datang menemui Raja Sulaiman. Now, when the Queen of Sheba came to visit King Solomon, it was actually an unfolding of God's revelation. If you can briefly turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12 in the New Testament. You see these words of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 12, in verse 42, it says, "The queen of the south will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and indeed a greater than Solomon is here." Now, the coming of the Queen of Sheba to visit Solomon, to inquire from him various things, to seek the answer to many deep things that had troubled her, was actually a picture of a sinner coming to seek all the questions that need to be answered in his life. So as a sinner come to seek to know Jesus Christ, we must remember how the Queen of Sheba came to seek answers for deep questions from Solomon. And as we study this passage, we come to know of the steps by which a sinner is brought to faith in the Lord. Solomon was a type of Christ. He showed forth certain aspects of the person and the work of Christ. The fact of the Queen of Sheba coming to us of Solomon is actually a revelation of how a sinner comes to inquire concerning Christ and how he finally comes to faith in him. So let today's message be a lesson to us all as to how a person may come to true faith in the Lord. Kisah Ratu Sheba datang menanyakan Raja Sulaiman ialah satu gambaran bagaimana seorang berdosa datang bertanyakan Yesus Kristus sehingga dia menjadi seorang yang beriman. Dari cerita ini kita seharusnya tahu bagaimana kita boleh mendekati Yesus Kristus supaya dapat percaya kepadanya. There are five things that we want to look at in so far as the steps are involved. We must listen very carefully. The steps are related one to another. They are quite simple to follow. Ada lima langkah yang diperlukan. Pertama ialah mendengar. Ratu Sheba itu sudah terdengar sesuatu mengenai kebijaksanaan Raja Sulaiman. The Queen of Sheba heard. That was the first step. She heard of the wisdom of King Solomon. In verse 1 we are told, when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. Now Solomon was not famous because of his own cleverness. Solomon had ensured that everyone understood that his wisdom came from the Lord. He was a man of faith. He wanted to direct people's attention to Jehovah, to Yahweh, to the God of Israel. He did not want glory for himself, although he was a famous man. And everyone who came to inquire more of Solomon came to realize that he was a man who put his trust in Yahweh. She came to ask Solomon deep questions concerning the things she had heard about his wisdom. And let us understand that in verse 2, towards the end, we are told she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. This was not an ordinary person full of curiosity and just simply coming to test, to try and put Solomon to shame. No, this was not a person who had trivial things to ask. Rather, she had deep questions that she could not find the answers for. She came to Solomon, having heard of his ability to answer the deep questions of life. Ini seorang yang ingin tahu mengenai perkara-perkara penting dalam kehidupan. Dia tidak datang berjumpa dengan Raja Sulaiman dengan sewenang-wenang saja begitu. Tidak, dia ada perkara-perkara yang berat berada dalam hatinya yang ingin dia tanyakan pada Raja Sulaiman. Now, for us today, because Solomon was a picture of Jesus Christ, and the Queen of Sheba coming to seek the answers for life from Solomon is a picture of a sinner coming to inquire concerning Christ, must lead us to this truth that first of all, we must hear concerning the person and the work of Christ. Kita seharusnya mendengar tentang siapa dia, Yesus Kristus, dan apakah dia sudah buat untuk menyelamatkan orang-orang berdosa. Jesus Christ is portrayed to us in the Bible as not only man, but God. Not God only, but also man. He is a one person with two natures. These two natures, the divine nature and the human nature, are combined in one person. Isn't that something amazing? Isn't that something strange and wonderful? If God and man combined in one person is taught to us, certainly we will be excited to want to know. We will be curious to want to know. And remember, in the days of Solomon, he built the temple of God. Then he built the palace. Solomon is almost saying that the temple of God is where God reveals his divinity. And the palace where he lived was as though he was saying it is a picture of how God come to dwell with man. And you discover that Solomon built the temple, then he built the palace. And the temple was a very glorious building. It was the most superb building that was found on the face of the earth at that time. But remember that his temple was equally glorious, and his palace was equally glorious. You can't find a palace more glorious than the palace of Solomon. And these are built side by side. One was built after the other, so that your attention is first focused on the temple, then on the palace. It is almost as though you can't separate the two buildings of Solomon. If you talk about Solomon being a great architect of the nation, a great builder of the nation, you don't think only of the palace, but also of the temple. You don't think of the temple only, but you think also of the palace. The two belong together. And so also with the person of Jesus Christ. When we hear of him coming to teach the 12 disciples, he told them that they will come and destroy the temple, which was his body, but he will raise it up in 3 days, showing to us that the temple in the Old Testament in some ways picture the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was both divine and human at the same time. So have you heard of this truth concerning the Lord Jesus Christ? He is not an ordinary man. Although he was a true man, he really became true man. The Son of God, who had existed with the Father and the Spirit from eternity, at one point in time took on perfect true human nature. Jesus Christus, satu orang saja. Dia satu orang, tapi dia ada dua peribadi. Dia itu ilahi dan dia itu juga manusia. Benar-benar manusia tanpa dosa. Itu satu perkara yang aneh. Itu perkara yang sungguh menakjubkan. Sekiranya kita sudah mendengar tentang Yesus Kristus, Tentu saja kita ingin tahu lebih mendalam lagi mengenai orang ini. Adakah kita pernah tanya-tanyakan siapa dia sebenarnya, Yesus Kristus? Have you ever asked, inquired, find out from people more about this person, Jesus Christ? Then concerning the wisdom and the power and glory of Solomon, we know that Jesus Christ is greater than Solomon. Solomon was only a human picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself says that he is greater than Solomon. Someone greater than Solomon has come, he was saying about himself. So if Jesus Christ, if Solomon was powerful, Jesus Christ is even more powerful. Remember, he is the Son of God. He created the whole universe. So he owns the whole universe. And if Solomon was glorious, Jesus Christ is even more glorious. In the letter of Paul to the Philippians, we are told that the Son of God emptied himself of all to become man, you see. And it shows to us that before that he was full of the glory of God. And today he is risen, seated in heaven. He is the all-glorious God. In the book of Revelation, we read about all the creatures in heaven bowing down to him and say, "Holy, holy, holy," to the Son of God who is seated on the throne. In Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah, we read of Isaiah being stricken concerning his conviction of his own sin, his own filthiness, when he saw the Lord seated on the throne. And in the book of Revelation, we see all the creatures bowing before God. Isaiah was a sinful man on earth. When he captured a glimpse of the glory of God, he was stricken concerning his sin. He quickly bowed down. His eyes, his sinful eyes, could not see glory, the glory of the Lord. In heaven, all the creatures are glorious. All of them are without sin. And all of them still have to bow down before the Son of God and praise him and glorify his name. And so you see that this is the person whom the Bible reveals to us. If you talk about Solomon, who is full of wisdom and glory and power, think of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ laid down his life and rose again from the dead. Have you ever heard such a story anywhere in the world where a person lays down his life to save others, unworthy sinners, and he rises again? Have you heard any such story? You can't hear. You have not heard of any story except that contained in the Bible. The Lord Jesus Christ came. He died in the place of those whom he had come to save. And he rose again on the third day. He was seen by hundreds of people. And we are told about 500 people at different times saw him in that 40 days before he finally was taken up to heaven. And he says he will return again. Now, wouldn't you want to know more about this person and why he has come and what he has accomplished by his death, by his resurrection? Why is it that he would come one day to this world again? Now, certainly you would want to know, because it is a fearful thing to learn that he will one day come to judge the world. And if you are not ready for him, you will be condemned by him. But if you are ready for him, you will be welcomed by him. So these are things that are of great importance to each one of us. Shouldn't we all find out more? Now you are hearing all this if you haven't heard before. The Queen of Sheba heard wonderful things about Solomon and came to find out more. Now you should come to find out more about the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Apostle Paul was defending himself before Festus, he told Festus, "This thing was not done in a corner. The Lord Jesus Christ lived on this earth. It is he was a historical figure." And yet today there are people who try to throw doubts into the minds of people, saying that we do not know whether he is a true person in history or not. Now, it's a crazy thing to deny a person who has walked on the face of this earth. And it's recorded in history during the time when the Romans ruled over a large part of the Western world. Jesus Christ was actually born and grew up in Israel. And he was walking on the land of Israel. And he was teaching there. Everybody living around that, at that time knew of him, saw him, heard him. And if they have not seen him personally or heard him personally, they have heard about him. And history books have contained references to him. And yet there are people today who try to throw doubts into the minds of people, questioning whether he was a historical figure or not. Sometimes we just wonder at the unbelief of people around, that they are capable of denying things that are so obvious. See? So obvious. Now, if ever you want to be saved, you must hear truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. Without the hearing concerning Jesus Christ, you cannot be saved. Bagi seseorang yang ingin diselamatkan, dia terpaksa mendengar tentang Yesus Kristus. Tanpa berita mengenai Yesus Kristus, orang itu tak akan terselamat. Romans chapter 10 verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that is why Christians are always going around to preach concerning Christ. If you preach concerning yourself or how good you are, then you have gone astray. And sometimes people, out of good intention, imitate other Christians by giving their so-called testimonies. But instead of testifying to the great work that God has done, Christ has done in their life, they begin to talk too much about themselves, and they begin to glorify themselves, such that people go away thinking, oh, what a wonderful person that person is. You see? So people are glorying in you, not in the Lord Jesus Christ. So testimonies can be wrongly used. Instead of portraying Christ as preeminent, you begin to portray yourself as preeminent. And that is wrong. That is why we must be very careful. Don't simply engage in talking about ourselves unless it shows or points the hearer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we also have to remember that we need to preach concerning Christ. And if we go around preaching about our church or our denomination, we have gone astray. Our emphasis should be the gospel. And the gospel is about Jesus Christ. We are not here trying to win you to our church or our denomination. We are trying to tell you that you need to know more about this person, Jesus Christ. It is so crucial for you to know more about him. It has to do with your eternal destiny. Kita mengkhotbah tentang Yesus Kristus, bukan tentang mazhab kita, bukan tentang gereja kita. Dan semasa memberi kesaksian, janganlah kita tumpukan perhatian kepada kemuliaan kita sendiri. Kita seharusnya mendorong orang supaya mereka tumpukan perhatian mereka terhadap Yesus Kristus. Yesus Kristus seharusnya menjadi fokus, menjadi pusat perhatian kesemua orang. So we must cause the hearers to focus their attention on Christ. Then the second stage is that she came. She heard, she came. Now this person made the effort to come, to hear more, and to meet the person himself. Now it is so important that you come to Jesus Christ himself. It is no good hearing so much about him. It is no good trying to find out more for the rest of your life. You know, some people, they value education. They value scholarship. And that is good, because a lot of people are just concerned about earning a living, having a high quality of life. They are very practical-minded. They think being pragmatic is something very good, you see. And they are always utilitarian in their approach to anything. Whenever they look at anything, they ask, you know, how is it going to generate money for me? In what way is this going to be good for me in my everyday life? Now, while that is practical and that may make you rich and make you famous and make you comfortable, whatever you want, you may get. But I want to show to you that there is an aspect of living that you must not neglect. And that is to value things that are of aesthetic value. Things that are of aesthetic value cannot be measured with money. We appreciate art for art's sake. We appreciate music for music's sake. We find enjoyment in music, and that is very uplifting. We share this music and art and culture and scholarship with others. And scholarship is one thing. It is something to be valued. We study not just to pass our exam, although that is our immediate target, although that is important, but we must cultivate a high estimate of education, of knowledge. See? And here was this Queen of Sheba. She already gained so much knowledge about Solomon, but she knew that she must not stop there. And the point I'm trying to make is this. There are people who value study, but they look upon studies as utilitarian, as something that is useful in practical life. Pass your exams, you see. Do well, get a good job. Higher education is more to prepare you to have a good living, you see. And you discover that that will cause you to be stunted in your appreciation of education. But let us look at another category of people. They value education, and they are always studying. They are pursuing one degree after another. They say they enjoy study. They appreciate education. And forever they are accumulating knowledge for themselves. And I want to say that that is also not right. If knowledge is just pursued like that, then you have failed to appreciate it for what it really is for. Now this Queen of Sheba knew that. She had accumulated knowledge, wisdom. And then she heard about this Solomon. She must have read his books. She must have heard all the reports and accumulated as much about Solomon as possible. The many difficult cases that Solomon saw. Almost like our Pao Jin Tian, you know. Every episode, you see, he solves a very important case which people couldn't solve. And here Solomon was someone like that. His chronicles probably have been circulated. Remember, Solomon was a very literary man. He composed songs, he wrote poems, he was a writer. He probably has his own publishing house. And certainly the news of how he judged over the two women who quarreled over the child must have been known to everyone. And certainly that was not the only case that Solomon saw with such great wisdom. But he must have solved so many other cases. But the Queen of Sheba did not want to stop there. You have heard so much about Solomon. Why don't you now go and see him yourself? Well, that thought occurred to her. Yes, that makes sense. And whatever, although I happen to be a person of means, but if I do not have the heart to want to make the effort to see Solomon, all our means comes to nothing. Today, some people think that, you know, I want to travel somewhere. For holiday perhaps, but you're hampered by various considerations, and money is a big hindrance. If you're not earning sufficient to be able to cover that amount, you can't simply go on holiday to that place. You have to think of somewhere nearer. Other people are hampered by various circumstances in life. They may have the means, the money, see, but perhaps somebody is at home needing attention every day. Perhaps there's a sick mother at home, and there's nobody else to take care of her. So that person is held back. But the Queen of Sheba did not want to be held back by whatever excuses. She made the way, all the way to meet with Solomon. Now why is it so important for us to know that it is we must see Jesus Christ ourselves? Why? Now let me illustrate this point by a true incident that occurred. There was once a person who heard so much about Jesus Christ. He came to the church to hear preaching, and he read books about Jesus Christ. And then one day he decided to ask the preacher, "Can you give me verses to prove to me all that you have been teaching all this while? Give me passages and verses concerning Christ so that I can be saved. Give me some key passages so that when I study them I will be saved." And the preacher said to him that no particular text is going to be helpful to you. No amount, no number of texts will save you. See? Except you go to Jesus Christ yourself. In the Old Testament, when a person kills someone, either accidentally or out of the anger of the moment or whatever, he has to run because the relative of that person who has been murdered is going to be the avenger of blood. The next of kin, the person who is related is going to come and kill you in revenge. Now what are you going to do now? You have to run to a city of refuge. Now it is no good looking for the sign, and there the sign points that way. You sit stand there admiring, oh, one sign. Oh, there another sign, you see. Oh, it all points in that direction. It all points up to that hill, and I can see the road leading up the hill. Oh, so that is where I can take refuge. Now you don't stand there and admire or ask about the sign. You see the sign, you quickly follow the direction of the sign and run, 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 run until you arrive at the city. Knock on the door, ask to be allowed in. Now that is what a manslayer should do. If you have slain someone, you should quickly follow the sign and run to the city that the sign points you to. Now what you hear about Christ should lead you to Christ himself. You have heard so much about him. Come to him. A thirsty man will not admire the well. He will drink from the well. So you hear so much about Jesus Christ. Come to Jesus Christ. Seseorang yang haus tidak berdiri di depan telaga itu saja. Dan melihat dan mengintai dan mengata betapa cantiknya telaga ini. Orang yang dahaga itu terus minum dari telaga itu. Jadi kalau kita sudah mendengar tentang Yesus Kristus, datanglah ke Yesus Kristus sendiri. Jangan dengar, jangan terlalu banyak mendengar tanpa membuat sesuatu. Sekarang buatlah sesuatu. Datang jumpa Yesus Kristus sendiri. Seperti juga Ratu Sheba datang berjumpa dengan Sulaiman. So that is how we must do it. So if you haven't come to Jesus Christ, come to him. Come and talk to him. Come and ask of him. Come and plead with him. You remember the woman who came to Jesus Christ? And she pleaded with the Lord Jesus Christ concerning her demon-possessed child. You see, she came to Christ because of her need. You remember the man whose child was at home and was sick? And he came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ questioned him concerning his faith, and he told the Lord Jesus Christ, help me in my unbelief. See? And the person realized that even his own unbelief has to be brought before the Lord. Help me in my unbelief. So you must speak to Jesus Christ. You must pray to him. You don't just constantly hear more and more and more about Christ without coming to Christ yourself. And Christ is God. By his Spirit, he is with us here today. If only you call out to him, he will hear you. Wherever you may be, on your bed at night, alone, lonely in your room at night, or wherever you may be working or studying, far from home, wherever you may be, Christ is near at hand. All you need to do is to approach him, call out to him, talk to him, and he is there to hear you. Then the third thing is that she believed. Perkara ketiga ialah Ratu Sheba itu percaya segala-gala yang dia nampak, segala-gala yang dia dengar, segala-gala yang dia tanyakan. Dia sekarang sudah percaya. This Queen of Sheba came to ask all that was on her heart. All that she wanted to know concerning the deep issues of life. Why are we born? Why are we here? Where would we go? Why the different so-called races of people in the world? Why the different cultures? Why war? Why suffering? Why death? Now what happens after death? You see, what about the future? So many questions that we expect the Queen of Sheba to have thought about. Today people think about such questions. Often we hear such questions raised. Certainly the Queen of Sheba would have thought of all this. And perhaps deeper questions, she would have brought it before Solomon. And Solomon was able to wisely answer all her questions to her satisfaction. And one thing you find is that she really was satisfied with all the answers given. And then when she saw the glory of Solomon and the kingdom, we are told that no spirit was left in her. She was just overwhelmed by what she saw. And she said to Solomon, she was confessing to Solomon as it were, verse 6, it was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe the word until I came and saw with my own eyes. And indeed, the house was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity exceed the fame of which I heard. It shows that the Queen of Sheba has believed at last. Before that, she only heard. Before that, she believed perhaps intellectually. And so she decided to find out for herself. So she came all the way to seek out Solomon. And when she saw with her own eyes, there was no spirit left in her. She did not realize this is far more glorious than what she had heard about. And she confessed to Solomon. So when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, when you come to drink from His word, you come to believe what He says, you ask Him of questions and find the answer given to you in the Bible, you begin to become overwhelmed. You discover that the words of the Lord Jesus Christ is full of wisdom, wisdom beyond your imagination. And often it is that the truth of a thing is in the tasting of it. You can admire durians. You can hear so much about durians. You say, I come to Malaysia, I must taste durian. When you come, you say, you know, the strong smell. And you hear people enjoying it. But how would you know what it tastes like if you yourself don't taste it? You see? Sugar. You hear sugar is sweet. Salt is salty. You know? You have eaten a lot of plain food. So you add salt. You say, nice, tastes nice. Without tasting, how would you know? You'll always be eating plain food. Like your cup of coffee is so bitter. Add some sugar. So, no, I heard it's sweet. Let me, this is sugar, is it? You admire the sugar, you touch the sugar, but you have not actually tasted it. A lot of things in the spiritual life cannot be experienced by people who study it intellectually. You must come and have faith in what is spoken of. You must trust. You must believe what the Bible says. And as you believe, you come to realize that things are more wonderful than you have ever thought. You have thought that you understood already. But suddenly when your eyes are open, you discover it's much more wonderful than you realize. Like that blind man, the person who is born blind, who hears description about the beauty of the sunset. And every evening he's led to the shore and he looks into the horizon. Yeah, look ahead of you, you see? You know, the streak of red at the top and then the yellow, and I look at the blue and the orange there, you know, and the sun is setting, it's getting more and more red. See how wonderful it is. And everything that the blind man hears is just intellectual. He thinks of it as, red like that, blue like that, orange like that, getting redder like that, you see? It's all intellectual. Let us say one day he has a knock on his head that suddenly opens up his eyes. Then he sees the beauty of the sunset and he comes to realize it is far, far more glorious than he has ever thought. Seperti orang yang buta, yang tak pernah nampak matahari terbenam. Dia hanya dengar saja kecantikan langit di mana mentari itu sedang terbenam. Bila matanya sudah terbuka, baru dia tahu, sebegitu cantiknya. Okay? So we are like that. You must come and believe. You must come and taste. You must come and trust in Christ. Then you discover a lot of things that you thought you knew turn out to be only half what actually it is. And when you have known sufficient, you must act. You can't forever like that student go on learning and learning and learning, and then that all those learning doesn't make you a scholar yourself. You're always a student. You're forever a student, and you yourself is never a producer of knowledge, and never a teacher of others. You're never going to be useful. All the knowledge that you accumulate does you no good. You're forever learning and learning and learning. You are always a student. What is the point? Of course, there is a sense in which we are always learning, and we must be humble and understand that we are always learning something new to the day we die. That is a truth we acknowledge. But what we are saying is we can't be a formal student all the days of our lives. There comes a stage when we must develop. All knowledge must develop us to the point where we become useful in some ways. A scholar must
A student must become a scholar himself. He must become a teacher of others. He must become useful in some ways. And that comes from allowing the knowledge to sink into our life, to influence us such that we in turn have life in ourselves. And so also when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, when you trust in Him, you discover amazing things you have never experienced before. That is how spiritual things go. Fourthly, she gave. Keempat, dia membagi. Dia membagi kepada Raja Sulaiman segala-gala yang dia telah membawa ke negara itu. Segala-gala yang terbaik, yang termahal, dia bagi kepada Raja Sulaiman. Dia tidak menyimpan apa-apa barang yang dia bawa itu. So this is a picture of a person who has truly believed. How do you know that a person has truly believed? He gives his all to the Lord. Whatever you have, whatever precious things you have, you do not want to hold back any part for yourself anymore. You want to give your all and your best to the Lord. And that is a sure sign that that person is a true believer. When a person in a calculative way hold back, say, okay, I'll follow the rest, you know, I'll do what they do, but I'm going to hold back. Remember, there was Barnabas in the New Testament church. Out of his own heart, without anybody forcing him, without anybody suggesting to him, he went to sell off his property because he saw no use keeping all this. He had sufficient, more than sufficient for himself, and others in the church were in need. So what did he do? He went to sell off and brought all this, and the apostles were able to distribute to all those who had need. Barnabas showed that he was a true believer, moved by the Spirit. Without any compulsion, he did that. He gave what he had. But consider Ananias and Sapphira. See, they saw others doing it. They also claimed that they would do that. And they went quietly to sell the property, but they held back part of the money and said, this is all that we got from our sale. You see? And they thought that they could bluff the Christians around. They could show that they have been very generous. But who were they bluffing? They were bluffing the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God was moving mightily in the midst of His people. And here you are claiming yourself to be a believer. Here you are selling your property. And all the money is yours. If you want to give half, say, like, this is half. I want to keep the half perhaps for some other needs. But these people did not. This couple did not. They gave the half, but they held back. They say, you know, we have given all. See? And when you try to bluff like that, God knows. God knows. So when you become a Christian, you don't hold back anything. You are blood bought. You are bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. You no more belong to yourself. Your total person is given over to the Lord. Thank God that often He does not require us to do more than what we are called upon to do. He only wants you to do what you are able. He does not ask you to do beyond your ability. If ever He wants to use any particular individual, any particular Christian more than normal, He will channel more grace to that person. See? Not all of us, for example, are told to die for Christ. See? But there must be a willing heart that if necessary, you will die for Christ. Not all of us are told to sell all our property to give to the church. But if the Lord so move you, if the Lord so convince you, now you should be willing to do so. That willingness is a sign that the person is a genuine believer. He realizes that he is no more his own. He belongs to Christ. He has been bought by the blood of Christ. Seseorang yang benar-benar percaya akan memberi segala-gala yang ada padanya kepada Yesus Kristus, kerana dia sudah dibeli oleh darah Yesus Kristus.
So we don't hold back. And that was what happened to the Queen of Sheba. And you see now, whatever we give to the Lord, you think the Lord will squander away? Solomon used the spices well. We are told never afterwards was ever such grand spices, such amount brought to Solomon. Never before seen. Then the almug wood, some people argue that it's a wrong spelling, it's algam wood, whatever. But it must be something special, because the way it is mentioned is that never afterwards was so much of such good wood ever seen in the kingdom. And what did Solomon do? He made use of that to line the steps leading to the temple. And so it was put to good use. Solomon made good use of the wood to God's glory. And we must understand that of whatever we give to the Lord is meant for the building up of His kingdom. It's never meant for personal use. God will deal with us if we squander away God's property. And therefore, when we give, it is with the understanding that it is for the extension of God's kingdom. It will help further the cause of the gospel in some ways. Sometimes we wonder whether it is good use of money or not. Sinful men pervert good things. Good things given for God's work is being used in the wrong way. But God will judge them. After we have exercised whatever care necessary, we must not hold back. The more you hoard, the more you rot. You know hoarding? It is keeping to yourself. What is the point of having a big church account when there's so much needs around? You remember there were lakes that is filled with water, and if all the water ends there without flowing out, you discover that lake will fill more and more. You think you are like that lake, you're very happy, water is filling up more and more, but do you realize that without the water flowing out, there is no fresh water coming in, and very soon it will be dead water. All the fish will die, all the living things that in there will die. What is the point of having dead water? Far better it is that the lake has an outlet, the water flows out, fresh water comes in. You always have enough, but it is always fresh. And so also with the Christian life. The more willing you are prepared to give, the more you will be given. And that is the way of the kingdom of God. If you hold back your life, your time, your energy, your abilities, all the talents that God has given you, cursed are you. You call yourself a Christian, it is time that you awaken to the call of God. God is saying to you tonight, you claim yourself to be a Christian. You claim to have been bought by the blood of Christ. But how can I give you so much time, and what do you do with your time? Spend for yourself, for your family. Well, there is the legitimate place for all that. But what about God's work? What about God's service? What about money? What about energy, property, talents? What are you doing? This is not just a message for non-Christians. It is a message for all of us who call ourselves Christians. The Queen of Sheba showed that she was a true believer by giving without holding back. Remember when the Lord Jesus Christ came, the voice from heaven was heard by those around. See, the Spirit descended upon him like a dove and remained on him. The voice in heaven said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." Now who would you hear? Who would you hear today? You must hear the Lord Jesus Christ. If you really believe in him, it will be shown by this desire to give your all to him. Finally, fifth point. She received from Solomon so much more than she has given. Really, so much more. Firstly, she valued all the knowledge that she has gained from Solomon. It was not just her curiosity satisfied. It was the burden of the heart lifted. It was a comfort to her burdened soul to have all these difficult issues of life answered. Now look at verse 13. We are told, And King Solomon gave to the Queen of Sheba all she desired, whatever she asked, besides what Solomon had given her according to royal generosity. And she turned to her own country, she and her servant. She went away fully satisfied. You know what she asked? You think she would ask gold? She has brought gold. You think she would ask spices? She has brought spices. You think she would ask all the expensive wood? She has brought those themselves for Solomon. She has asked Solomon so many questions. And she has now found the answer. She brought away the satisfaction that all her difficult answers, the difficult questions have been answered. And over on top of this satisfaction, all the deep issues of life being answered, Solomon gave her a lot more than she brought. Now you just turn a few pages on to 2 Chronicles chapter 9. 2 Chronicles chapter 9, look at verse 12. Now we are told there, the same passage, the same incident, we are told in this record, verse 12. Now King Solomon gave to the Queen of Sheba all she desired, whatever she asked, much more than she had brought to the king. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. You note the additional information there? Much more than she had given Solomon. And that is with the Christian life. When you are willing to give of yourself to the Lord, the Lord blesses you with eternal life. The Lord blesses you with the assurance that you are fully forgiven. The Lord cleanses you of all the guilt of your conscience. Now these are all good enough. Thank you God for saving me. Thank you for giving me peace of heart. Thank you for giving me eternal life. Thank you for giving me all these promises of the spiritual things that belong to Christ. But amazingly, God often blesses us with more. The one who is working perhaps as a mechanic for God, he wants to serve the Lord as a good Christian mechanic. You discover his business prospers. Then you discover another person who scrounges and squeezes and calculating, you discover it's somehow, you know, the more he works, the less he seems to be earning. You see? How is that so? You see? The reason is because his heart is stingy. His heart is holding back. His heart is calculating. And therefore he's not blessed by the Lord. You can have all riches in the world, but you have a mind that is always tense. You know, your mind is always twisted, and you're always worried, and you don't have a clear conscience, and you live in your palace, and you look out every day with a glum face. People walking past always see that glum face. You know, we say a bulldog, you know, has that ugly, unhappy look, you know, and your face is always bulldog-like, you see, perhaps worse, you see. And what is the point of living a life like that, you see? You think you have been blessed all by your clever effort? That's because you have been holding back. Let your mind be free by letting go, by giving to the Lord. Give of your life, give of your time, give of all your talents and property, give of your health. How many more years have you to live on this earth? Give the best of your life to the Lord. And you discover, at last, the twist in your mind is untwisted. You know? Like, just like that sponge that's twisted, and suddenly it releases, you see. And is ready to absorb more blessings. And you discover all the wrinkles and all the bulldog looks, you know, all the tension, you know, all suddenly disappear. And you discover there is a reason to be joyful. There is the joy of the Lord in your life now. You see things in a different perspective. You're able to let go. And you discover you receive more. It's far better, far, far better to let go of all to the Lord. May the Lord give you repentance if you haven't been giving of your all. And to repent means to stop doing what you have been doing. To do what is right in His sight. Tonight, let your heart be broken. Tonight, let your eyes flow, the floodgates of your eyes open. Let the tears flow freely. Confess your sin before the Lord. Give of your life to the Lord. Then, only then, will the blessing of the Lord flow to you. Did not the Lord Jesus Christ himself say, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all that you need in life will be given to you? We are told that God has already blessed us abundantly. In Ephesians chapter 1, God chose us from eternity. He predestined us. And we are finally saved and adopted, all according to his own good pleasure. There was nothing good in us, nothing lovable about us. And yet God showed his love by sending his only begotten Son to save us. And similarly in Ephesians chapter 3, we are told in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, now to him who is able to exceedingly abundant, to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This closing statement here shows to us that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, if only we would give of ourselves to him. Just as the Queen of Sheba received much more than she gave, you will receive much more than you give. The Lord will bless you abundantly with your heart's desire, all to his glory. So, what are the steps? She heard, she came, she believed, she gave, and she received. If you hear, you come to him. You come to him, you believed in him. You show your belief by giving your whole life to him. Serahkan diri kamu sendiri kepada Yesus Kristus, dan kamu akan terima lebih ramat daripada apa yang kamu bagi kepadanya. You will receive. You will receive. May today be the day of salvation for many present here.